From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Desiree Cooper is a 2015 Kresge Artist Fellow, a Pulitzer Prize-nominated journalist, and editor of the groundbreaking 2026 anthropology, Black Summers, Growing Up in Urban Outdoors. Her work has appeared in the New York Times, Oprah Daily, MSNBC Daily, Flash Fiction America 2023, Michigan Quarterly Review, The Rumpus, River Teeth, and noted in the Best American Essays 2019. Cooper is the author of the award-winning flash fiction collection, Know the Mother. She will be at the Columbus Library's Authors Series on August 15th at the Driving Park Branch. More information about that is available at craftheshow.com. Welcome to Craft, Desiree Cooper.
Doug, I'm so happy to be here. And I'm really excited about visiting Columbus.
That's what everybody says. They're excited to come to Columbus, especially at the Columbus Library, which is, I think, one of the greatest libraries in the country. So I'm sure that it'll be a fantastic experience for you because they're great people there. Tell me about how Black Summers, Growing Up in the Urban Outdoors, got started.
Oh my goodness. It's sort of a years-long journey. I guess the short of it is that I discovered the story of a forgotten civil rights pioneer in Michigan. Her name was Sarah Ray, and she led the integration of a summertime activity at the Boblo Boat. Many people in Michigan and Ohio, even Buffalo, New York, are familiar with ferry rides on the lakes. And when Sarah tried to ride one of those, she was kicked off because it was segregated. Anyway, her case went all the way to the United States Supreme Court in 1948. She won. Now, this is before Rosa Parks, before the Civil Rights Act. And riding that Boblo boat on the Detroit River became one of the quintessential experiences of Detroiters. And I moved to Detroit in the 80s, and that's all people ever talked about all summer was they couldn't wait to ride the Boblo boat. And nobody ever talked about what the history was and what it took for them to have this singular experience of freedom and joy in the summertime.
Are the Boblo boats related to like Boblo Island?
Yes.
Okay.
You are exactly right. So Boblo Island is located in the middle of the Detroit River between Canada and the United States, but it's actually a part of Canada. So part of the novelty was that you were going on a boat ride, a cruise, you were going on the river, and you were going to a foreign country, and you were doing all of this in the course of a day or an afternoon. You could even do moonlight cruises. So it was very accessible. Everybody went, but it was just a little tinge of fancy, and people loved doing it. So when I wrote about it, so many people said, I'd never heard this history, and I never knew about the history of the Boblo boat. And to sort of fast forward, as I was talking about this experience and talking about this history, it occurred to me that Sarah Ray may pop into the world now and look around and say, wow, I can't believe, like, after this fight, the freedom to have fun just opened up to everyone.
Yeah.
Or would she say, I can't believe after all that struggle, we haven't gotten any further than this. What would her reaction be? Mm-hmm. And so I asked 28 Detroiters to write about their experiences in the urban outdoors in the summertime and how race continues to affect that experience. And so that's what the anthology is about.
You said you asked the authors, how did you recruit them? Were they people that you knew, people that you had wanted to work with? What was the background there?
Kind of yes, on all counts. I lived in Detroit for 30 years, much of which I was a journalist. So I knew a lot of writers, a lot of creative writers, a lot of poets. So I kind of went to the people that I already knew had stories first. And then I filled in with their recommendations, with people who had written other things. And I even reached out to a youth organization. And so some of the submissions are from teenagers who are writing about their experiences in the summer.
What are some of the things that they talk about? What are some of the maybe surprising things? Like, I didn't know about the Boblo boats. What are things that you got back from folks and went, oh, I didn't even know about that. That's fascinating.
One thing that came up was the swim mobile. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I saw that mentioned. My mind went to like a school bus full of water, and I imagine that's not what it is.
So, of course, over time, especially after there was a lot of financial abandonment of the city and people moved out, whites moved out, and the tax base declined. What swimming pools were in Detroit went into disrepair. There were very few rec centers. And so there came a time, especially between the 70s and 80s, where there wasn't really great access to parks and to pools. So the then mayor, Coleman Young, got shipping containers and they were put on trucks and moved to neighborhoods and filled with hydrant water. And kids splish splashed right there on their neighborhood streets in a giant shipping container. And those were called the swimmobiles. And Detroit was not the only city that did it, but I think there were only like five cities or something that did that. And lots of kids have very fond memories of their only experience in pools was the swimmobile. That to me was a sign of sort of the innovation that it took to have kind of a normal, quote unquote, normal experience of the outdoors in the summer. One woman who wrote an essay said that we thought we were swimming in rich man's water, and the smell of the chlorine made it rich for her. So it's something that we kind of take for granted, and yet kids had been deprived of that very basic experience. Another thing that is interesting is how many, I call them children of the Great Migration. So many African Americans came north during the Great Migration, and their children, it became a ritual for African Americans in northern cities to hop in that car and go back south every summer to visit family. And so a lot of northern African American families have that experience, but very few have the one that Detroiters have. And that is going south to Canada because Windsor, Ontario is actually located south of Detroit. You have to go south down the river to get there. And lots of Black families are connected on both sides of the water. And so their family reunion going south was going to Canada. And so I think that was a bit of a surprise that many people may not know about the area.
So, did you have a lot of moments of reminiscence when you got the stuff in and said, "Oh, yeah, I remember this. I haven't thought of that in years." And it maybe took you back to your own childhood.
To a person, no matter where you grew up and no matter what your background is, that's exactly what this book does for everyone that reads the stories. And as you're reading, the story may not be about your own experience, but it is about that joy of summer. Summer for us in America often means childhood, and it means sort of like your free range time that you have. And for a lot of people, it also means that they grew up, the summertime was the longest they would spend with their parents who were working all the time. And maybe they would have a weekend, a long weekend off, or longer in the summer. And so those are going to be resonant with everyone, I think, who reads the book. I think, in addition, people are going to read it and go, wow, I just never thought about how in the most innocent and carefree things, racism is still a player. Racism is still like a ghost. It's always sort of tainting or has the possibility of restricting behavior, tainting experiences, tamping down the joy. It's something that so many people have to always carry with them, even as children, even when they're doing something as simple as camping out or going to a park or playing basketball or sports, it can definitely make a presence.
The common themes, childhood, joy, being in the urban outdoors. What are some of the other things that you've gone through the book and thought, oh, this is really cool that I can see these threads attaching different stories together in unexpected ways that you got to see as the editor?
A big surprise for me was how many of the stories came out of a childhood memory, but the writer didn't stay in a childhood frame of mind. They were turning their lens to their parents. It's almost like they were reliving it, but the lens was on what their parents were doing. There was so much love and appreciation for what the parents were going through, like the effort it might have taken them to go camping, to take that time off to pack, and the reasons why it was as important to the parents, like what were their parents escaping, what pressures, how their parents behaved and moved differently in the world when they were on an island park or they were fishing or they were driving. So I thought that was just beautiful. It was so touching to hear those stories. And the other is kind of railing against that fallacy that there's no nature in cities. And there is. There's a lot of it. And I think what the book does point up to is, like, I always talk about it like this: what counts as sanctuary? And how, when you are in a restricted environment, you have to create your own sanctuaries, and it counts. And that's like the front porch becoming so important, or even the front lawn as a symbol of belonging and pride, and just sort of that little patch of the American dream. How much driving in a car with the family felt safe, and it felt like a journey, and it felt less pressurized. We think about driving while Black as a highly pressurized experience, but especially in the 50s to the maybe 80s, being able to own a car and put your family in the car and safely drive your family wherever you wanted to go was just such a freeing experience for Black families. So I think that was a big thing, was just being able to look at things that are sort of common and recast them as a way of creating sanctuary and joy when there can be other kinds of constraints on your lives.
Tell us about Know the Mother, which is your flash fiction collection. What do people need to know before they read that?
So, flash fiction, there are short stories. So, most of the stories are 3 pages or less. Some are a couple of paragraphs. And what it does is sort of meet you in the middle of a circumstance and takes you to a next step. And it almost leaves you there for the reader to decide, wow, are they going to be safe or not? Are they going to stay married or not? What happens next? And it depends a lot on your own experience and what you're bringing to the stories. All of the stories deal with the way women are living under that rubric of mother. What is a mother? What is expected of women? And how they're pushing against that or pulling that into their family or interacting with their daughters. And so every story touches up the icon, the archetype of woman and mother.
Excellent. Desiree Cooper, we look very forward to seeing you at the Columbus Library on August 15th, and there's information about that on the website. Best of luck as you go forward, and congratulations on all of the success you've had with the writing.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. Until next time, be creative.